Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
This is Debbie Pokornik, host of Vibrant Powerful Moms, a podcast focused on helping you realign with your vibrant, powerful self so that you can fully enjoy the life you've come here to live. Today, I want to talk about your family of origin, or foo, as I like to refer to it. The family that you were raised in, even if it wasn't typical or something that you would call a family for that matter, it has a huge influence on how vibrant and powerful you are today. This is really important to understand because once you are aware of the influence your upbringing has had on you, you can decide if you want to make changes to your behavior. As well, your family of origin influences your family of creation. Identify the things that were done in your upbringing that you would prefer not to repeat, and use that information to guide you in making changes with your current family. Before we jump too deeply into this topic, I would like to take you through an exercise designed to help you reflect on who you are right now and where you are headed with your relationships. You might want to do this in a setting where you can take some time to reflect, maybe close your eyes, or you might want to have a pen and paper handy so you can write down some things that come up. The exercise is called Setting Life Priorities. When you're ready, here we go. You are 90 years old, sitting in a rocking chair, looking back over your life. Think about the things in your childhood that made you feel safe, secure, and happy. Even if you had a difficult childhood, there will be things that helped you to feel this way. It might have been an older sister who let you sleep in her room, a dog that you cuddled with, a spot and a tree in the backyard where you could hide. There's always things, even in a difficult life. So don't skip this part. Really think about what helped you to feel safe, sheltered, and able to carry on. See if you can come up with three words that describe you at this time. I usually use around 7 years old, so seven or younger. Just three words: shy, timid, afraid, outgoing, adventurous, curious, resilient, tough, optimistic. You can pause the podcast if you want while you think of them. Watch your life play out before you like a film highlighting successes, challenges, and disappointments. Fast forward to your late teen, young adult years, especially right about when you moved away from home. What were you like when it comes to relating with others? So your roommates, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, etc. Are you bossy? Are you super strict? Do you have lots of rules? Or are you messy, disorganized, super relaxed, no rules at all? Are you somewhere in between the two? So you have some rules, but you feel you are pretty flexible. Are you consistent in this? Or do you waffle back and forth between being relaxed, no rules, and frustrated by the chaos? Overreacting, that kind of thing. Just notice, without judgment or regret. Be really honest. You're the only one who can see the film that you're watching. What three words would describe you at this stage in your life? Decisive, leader, controlling, fun, flexible, relaxed, go-getter, sarcastic, damaged. Just come up with three words that you would use if you had to describe who you are at that point in time. Now, let's zero in on the moment you find out that you're going to be a parent. Whether it's a biological parent, maybe you were going to be a single parent, maybe you were a teenage parent, maybe you were a step parent, an adoptive parent. It's the moment that you find out you are going to be in charge of raising somebody else. Think about the feelings that this information created for you. Think about your dreams, your wishes for the future. Continue to move forward in time. Your child is growing, learning to walk and talk, starting school, maybe joining in extracurricular activities. Now they are 7 years old. If you're not there yet in real life, use your imagination to see where things are headed. How do you treat them? What kinds of things do you do to help them feel safe, secure, and loved? How much do you work, play, stop to just enjoy? What three words does your 7-year-old use to describe you when talking to his or her friends? Fun, busy, mean, playful, wonderful. Keep on traveling forward. Your child's moved out, maybe married or having children of their own. How do they treat you? How do they treat their partner? How do they treat their own kids? Do you like what you're seeing? Do they like you? Is work dominating their lives? Do they come to visit you? If so, do they do it because they want to or kind of out of obligation? Do they still talk about you? If so, what are they saying now? You know the drill. 3 words. You've reached retirement and moved into old age. How important is your job to you now? Do your previously close colleagues still call you? Do you feel like a valued member of society? Have you lived the kind of life you were hoping to live, or did you just kind of get caught up in the pressure of it all? You're 90 looking back. Do you like what you see? If you could write your whole story, what would you change? While there might be things that seem impossible to adjust in your life, there are little things you can do to guide your life in the direction you would prefer to go. Sticking to priorities is a tough task for all of us. Life seems so urgent most of the time. But if we don't live now, when will we? The idea behind this Setting Life Priorities exercise is to get you thinking about your life from a big picture standpoint. It's so easy for us to get caught up in the many tasks we have vying for our attention on a daily basis and to put the really important things on hold. Unfortunately, this does not work in our favor. So I strongly encourage you to put your energy into creating the life you want, rather than leaving it to chance and hoping you can get to it later. If you came up with 3 words each time that I asked you to, you can actually use those words to help guide you when it comes to healing past issues, releasing blocks, and changing the path that you're currently on. So those words are important if you did that. If you didn't, well, then you might want to go back at a later time and do them so you can have them. Remember in the exercise when I asked you to zero in on what your home life was like and specifically what you were like when you moved away from home? This is the part that is most important for our discussion today, because I want to help you really tune in to the influence your foo or family of origin has had on who you are and how you behave with your family. So let's get into identifying your family type. Families come in all shapes and sizes, and the factors influencing how they would look are pretty much endless. The stressors you face, the support system you have, and even the generation that you're raised in are just a few of the things that are going to affect the unique style of your family. I'm going to describe the extreme case scenario for family types, and while I do, think about any of the little pieces that stand out for you as something that's familiar from your own upbringing. If you've printed off the worksheet that I'm providing with this podcast, then you can check the boxes that apply to you as you're going through. But if you haven't, no worries. Just listen now and recognize those pieces. You'll be able to go through and check them off on the worksheet later. So it's just a matter of identifying. Even though these are extremes, don't limit yourself to one type, because as I'm going to explain later, there's often a lot of overlap, even though we go from one extreme to the other. All right, so the first extreme in family types, I call it the my way or the highway type, which is governed by strict, inflexible rules. It has an authoritarian model, which is based on a patriarchal structure or hierarchy. Even when it's a woman at the head of the household, it still is a patriarchal model, meaning that there's a clear leader, perhaps a second in command, and then the followers. Because I said so is a common phrase to hear in this family, and an explanation as to why these rules are important is very rare. So they don't spend a lot of time explaining why you have to listen or why they said so. There are strict consequences for breaking rules, and punishment is very common. When a strong-willed child or a child who's challenged by social cues is born into this family type, it often becomes a battle of the wills, meaning that the leader is trying to get control and will often strive to break the will of the child opposing him or her. So it's a really tough situation to be in. Barbara Coloroso, who I've mentioned before, and she's the author of Kids Are Worth It, she calls this type of a family a brick wall family. And I love that name because it creates a picture of this family within a brick wall. And sure enough, this type of family is very private. So if a child, let's say, shares something with their daycare worker or with someone at school, and then the school calls home, that child is going to be in trouble. Because what happens in home should not be shared with other people. It's very private to them. Physical punishments are very common. Things like slapping, spanking, even arm pulling. And by that, just picture someone grabbing someone and saying, "You're coming with me right now." That kind of arm pulling. Maybe pinching. You might grab a person by their ear. You might push someone. It's common. Those things are common in this family type, as are threats, groundings, and privilege removal. Now, don't get me wrong. That doesn't mean if you use grounding or privilege removal that you're automatically that family type. These are just common tools that will be used. So in this house, you're taught what to think rather than how to think for yourself. Which basically means you're told, this is the rule and you follow that rule because I said so, rather than this is the rule and here's why it's important, here's circumstances that you might not listen to it, that kind of thing. The other extreme is the loosey-goosey type of family that adopts a very permissive style of parenting. Chaos thrives in this environment because boundaries are not clearly laid out and they're rarely enforced. Rules are few and far between, and they can change with the stress of the moment. In this kind of house, you'll often hear a parent pleading for compliance. "Come on, you guys, can't you just listen and make this easier for me? I'm really tired from work," you know, that kind of pleading. And they'll often use guilt-laden statements to get their way. "If you loved me, you would do it. Come on, make mommy proud." Those kinds of statements, you know, "fix yourself up nice. Make me proud." There's also threats, and then the parent will feel bad for making the threats. And so she might try to make up for it by buying gifts if she's out working and has the money, or just overdoing it. Honey, I made you a special dinner. I feel so bad that I yelled at you, and mommy's a bad mommy, these kinds of things. Rather than following through on the punishment that was initially dealt out when they made the threats. So consistency does not exist in this family, and the roles that people play, like leader, follower, rule maker, that kind of thing, can jump all around from person to person. So a strong-willed child in this home will often try to take over in an effort to give some structure. But in their youth, they have a lot of trouble dealing with difficult adult decisions, so it does not work well. In this house, you're loved when you're good, and you're made to feel guilty or bad when you're not. In either of these extremes, major problems arise. Too much structure makes one crave flexibility, while too little structure results in a desire for order and predictability. When people are raised in these environments, they often vow to raise their children the opposite way, which is why you get a lot of overlap, because they will flip-flop from being that strong my way or the highway family with all these rules. They'll go, okay, in my house, I'm not going to have all these rules. I'm not going to make them feel bad for not doing every little thing I ask them to, so I'm not going to have any rules. And they flip-flopped over to loosey-goosey, which also doesn't work. So this isn't a great way to fix the imbalance. It's just as imbalanced the other way. Now, an important piece to understand is that without conscious effort, you will naturally use the parenting tools that were used on you when you were a child. So if you were raised in that my way or the highway family, and now you're using more of a loosey-goosey style, you still have all the parenting tools that were used on you in your toolbox. And in times of stress, times of crisis, when you're tired, that kind of thing, those are the things that are going to jump to the surface most easily unless you make a conscious effort to use something else. So with loosey-goosey, tension will arise due to the lack of order or rigid structure. Chaos will reign, resulting in inconsistent follow-through with little to no mutual respect. Or the parent will flip back to her rigid upbringing and shock everyone by laying down the hammer, often way too hard. It shocks everybody because I thought there was no rules, and suddenly you're yelling at them. This flip-flop way of living causes anxiety, confusion, guilt, or anger, and it can make parents feel like failures or believe that their kids are bad beyond repair. Like, I got a really bad one, and this is my punishment or something, and then they think they can't even help to raise their child in a way that will help them be successful in life. So creating a balanced family is really where we want to go, right? Now, thankfully, most of us were not raised in either of these extremes, but instead have grown up in a blend of our own. So what's important is that you become aware of the pieces of your foo that influence who you are today and do not fit with your vision of the kind of parent you would like to be. So this is part of that self-awareness thing, where you tune into, all right, this is how I was raised. These are the tools that were used on me. This is the kind of structure it was. How does that fit with the kind of parent that I truly want to be? In the ideal world, a balanced family would have a few well-thought-out rules with the flexibility to make new ones as the need arises. So their home environment will be built on fairness and consistency with clear boundaries and consequences for breaking those boundaries. When problems arise, those problems would be discussed and worked through in a way that teaches everyone how to think for themselves. All members of the household are expected to follow the rules, and if problems are continually surfacing, then the rule itself might be looked at, because obviously there's something going on if everybody's breaking the rule, or if this rule is consistently being broken. So there's a lot more thought and discussion and willingness to allow people room to grow, but there's also consistency. And Barbara Coloroso actually calls this one the backbone, which I also really like because a backbone is flexible, it bends, it moves, but it also provides good sound structure. And that's important in a family. This family type is flexible and works to build mutual respect using a variety of discipline tools and communication skills. People are loved and accepted for who they are and provided with the guidance and support to meet their full potential. Now, in reality, few, if any of us, would fit perfectly into this balanced family mold. And if we did, we're not going to stay there very long because life is about finding balance. I think I've mentioned before, it's more like a teeter-totter that is constantly moving and flexing versus absolute balance. So we don't even want to be perfectly balanced all the time. That would be rigidity. Growing and learning as well as independence and confidence grow out of imbalance and the efforts that we take to fix it. So that means we need imbalance in our life. It's not about being balanced all the time. It's about learning how to correct to rebalance when necessary. Okay, hopefully that makes sense to you. So if you're not aware of how your foo or family of origin influences you, it can be really frustrating, not to mention guilt-producing, because what you'll find is you might decide, I'm not going to use this style of parenting, and then you do it in a moment of crisis because it's there, it's in your toolbox, it's what you were raised in. And so you might find that you keep doing things with your kids or with your partner that you really don't like, and that creates guilt for you. Especially when those behaviors are not even aligned with your personality. The good news is that of all the challenges parents face when they come to people like me for assistance, this is one of the easiest to target and to make immediate positive changes to. So if you haven't already, download the worksheet that I provided with this podcast and use it to help you figure out where your family is today so that you can become aware and continue building the kind of family that you really want to have. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please share it with others, rave about it on social media, and give it a positive review. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant, Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters N-R-G.com.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a break-free parenting tip. As a parenting tool, consequences can work well if we allow ourselves to be creative and focus on the learning that is taking place. It teaches our children predictability, responsibility, self-discipline, and the idea that for every action, there is a reaction. It helps us practice creativity, consistency, and self-control. With Mother Nature, there's no settling of scores attached to a consequence, just an end result. So if we can remember to use nature as our role model for creation and delivery of consequences, it's a tool well worth having in our parenting pack. So here's some key points to remember when using consequences. Number one, when possible, allow nature to decide the consequence without your interference. Number two, be consistent, calm, and quick to put pre-planned logical consequences into place. Number three, be sure the consequence fits the crime as closely as possible. Number four, it is the certainty, not the severity, that makes a consequence effective. Mother Nature does not drop the temperature 30 degrees more because a child refused to bring a jacket. This is about learning, not about teaching a lesson. Number five, if your child does not seem upset by the consequence, that's okay. This process is not punishment, but rather about guiding your child towards appropriate behavior. A person who makes a mistake and then cheerfully fixes it should be applauded. Number six, It's okay to tell your child you'll need time to come up with a consequence for an unexpected behavior that requires correction. Consequences should not be given out when you're angry. If your child is pushing your buttons, take time to regain your self-control before acting. Number 7, avoid threatening your child with a consequence when you already have one in place. For example, if your child has been told that she'll have to go inside if she goes out past the garden, she goes inside as soon as she goes out past the garden. Number 8, whenever possible, provide your child with an opportunity to try again later. If you've taken away a toy gun because your son pointed it at his baby sister, give it back to him after the allotted time. For example, maybe you told him to be gone for 5 minutes, and then remind him of the rules of use. If he does it again, take the gun away for a much longer period, so maybe for a full day. And finally, number 9, when possible, provide planned warnings to give your kids a chance to practice their self-control. So there you have it. If consequences are a tool that you want to use, it's well worth remembering that there are definitely some keys that will help them to be more effective.